Thank you so much, John. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 2. And as you find your place, I'll just remind you that the two blind men asked the Lord that they would receive their sight. And he asked them, "Do you think I am able to do this?" And they said, "Yes, Lord." And that's what we want to say in our hearts, because he is able to save us. So we have our great salvation by our great Savior. He is able to keep us. What we've committed unto him against that day, we are completely secure in Christ. He is able to make all grace abound toward us, that we might have his sufficiency unto our service. This morning we would like to look at the fact that he is able to come to our aid. And we read in Hebrews chapter 2, notice in verse 18, please, just the last verse of that chapter, when it says, "For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted or tested, he is able to aid those who are tempted." Shall we ask the Lord to bless these things to our hearts once again? Let's pray. Our blessed Father, we pray that you would open our hearts to your word afresh. Help us to take it in and allow it to have its life-changing effect on our lives today, as we sit in your presence and as we enjoy the fellowship together with you, our Father, and with your Son, and with one another in Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'm so glad that he is able to come to our aid because, as the psalmist says, he is a very present help in time of need. Now, if you need help on your computer, you can call that 800 number and they'll tell you your call is very important to us. The wait time is approximately 5 hours and 37 minutes. But when it comes to need, the Lord is ever present, always ready, and he is able to come to our aid. Now, he achieved this, as the book of Hebrews explains to us, up in verse 17 of that chapter. "Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." Then it speaks of his suffering and the things that he endured in order to be a qualified, merciful, and faithful high priest. Merciful to us, faithful to his God. And we know, just because of the beauty and the purity of his character, he's the only one qualified to come to our help and to our aid. Now, I just have to be very careful when we consider the testing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the word for testing, the word for temptation, same word in the Greek. When we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to remind ourselves of the impeccability of Christ, the absolute, utter sinlessness of the Lord Jesus. John Flanagan said it this way: "He did not sin because he would not sin, because he could not sin." And that establishes us to know we have a Savior who is completely sinless. He said, "The ruler of this world is coming. He has nothing in me." And it certainly is true, as the Apostle Paul said, there was no sin in him. He knew no sin. He did no sin. Paul, Peter, John all agree as they set forth our Savior, the one in whom is no sin. Yet, he was tested in all points as we are. He was weary. He was thirsty. He was hungry. He was hated. He was despised. He was sad. He bore our sorrows. He was rejected by his people, and even forsaken of his God, he was tested in all points, more than what will ever be tested. And because of this, whenever we face any testing or temptation, he is able to come to our aid. Aren't you glad for that? James reminds us that when anyone is tempted, let him not say, "I'm being tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted by evil, neither does he tempt any man. So we come into a time of temptation or testing, and while he's sympathetic with our infirmities or our weaknesses, when it comes to our iniquities, there was no sympathy. He himself gave himself for our sins, and he stands as our high priest, able to aid us whenever we face any testing or temptation. What does he do? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 tells us exactly what he does. Paul reminds us that no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And so we see that he was tested in all points, so that when we face testing or temptation, he comes immediately to our aid, and he's given us this all by his marvelous grace. Someone asked me, they said, well, how do you know if it's a testing or a temptation? Well, that all depends on how you respond to it. If we give in to it, it's a temptation, and we fail miserably. But if it's a testing, no matter what the temptation may be, we find not just that we are proven as we're examined by testing, but that he is proven faithful and able to deliver us out of whatever we face. Job had it right, didn't he? The Lord knows the way that I take, and when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. And so we rejoice in our great high priest this morning, don't we? Because he is able to give us all the strength that's necessary. Listen, when we face temptation or trial, look to him. All the resources of heaven are ready at his disposal if we just take a glance and put our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the one who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, and he comes immediately to our aid whenever we need him. We have a great God, don't we? He ever lives in heaven for us, and he cares so well for us as our faithful and merciful high priest. Even when we fail and fall, and it happens, doesn't it? What do we do? Well, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 tells us what to do. If we confess our sins, next words, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You won't find a high priest like this, according to the order of Aaron. You'll only find a high priest like this at the right hand of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is he able to aid us when we face trials and temptation, according to the book of Jude, you know, Jude's a great book. You can look in any chapter you want to, but when you do, look in verse 24. And in the book of Jude, chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, we see that he is able to keep us from stumbling. That's probably the greatest fear any elder or any preacher has, that I might come close to the end of my course and fail miserably. It's a good fear, isn't it? It keeps us trusting in him. And so we read in Jude chapter 1, verse 24, now as a benediction unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's a marvelous verse, isn't it? Keith Van Ryan asked me one time, he said, what do you think of Jude 1:24? And I looked it up and I said, I think it's a great promise. He said, it's not a promise. It's a condition. He is able, yes, but you have to be willing. You have to trust him. You know, I said there are seven he is ables that we're looking at. There are a couple of more that I'm just going to put into this same one, because he gives stability and standing in our life. Someone said Jesus sat down that we might stand for him. And that's exactly it. Paul writes to the believers at Rome. He says, who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and God is able to make him stand. He is able to give us stability in life. We can trust him each step of the way. And when we rely on him, we have that promise to claim. He is able to keep us from stumbling, to keep us from falling. And that's a great promise to claim in that way. He is able. The question is not of any of his ability. The question is, are we willing? And if we're willing and we trust in him, then he is able. You know, sometimes you feel like saying, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And as the disciples prayed, Lord, increase our faith. I think it should be really the slogan song for the believers. Praise the Savior, ye who know him. Keep us, Lord, O keep us cleaving to thyself and still believing till the hour of our receiving promised joys with thee. And we come to number six. He is able. Now, this is a mouthful. If you go right back to the book of Ephesians chapter 3, you can read it. And you know it well because it's probably one of the most quoted promises in the New Testament for believers. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, Now to him, again another benediction, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. I don't know about you, but as I've listened to the ministry of our brethren, my heart has been strongly convicted. And if you haven't been convicted, I know you've at least been challenged. I don't know that anybody's been comforted by the ministry. What was it someone said? God comforts the afflicted, and he afflicts the comfortable. And sometimes we just get too comfortable in the Christian life and in Christian service. But the things we've heard at this conference, from what I hear in the prayer meetings, our hearts have been stirred under conviction because we see how far short we come, whether being exercised in prayer or being actively caring for the flock. It's all a conviction to us, isn't it? And we come away from a conference like this not discouraged, but encouraged. Why? Well, because he is able to do a work in our lives that will strengthen us and give us just what's needed for service. Our brother Wayne mentioned William MacDonald's excellent commentary, Believer's Bible Commentary. And I agree, you need to have that not just on your bookshelf, but you need to have it as a solid resource. And as you look at it, if you were turning to Ephesians 3:20 right now, you would see this nice diagram that William MacDonald put for this verse, Ephesians 3:20. He is able. So I've tried to do a little copy of it on these slides, but his is very nicely laid out, all in that nice column. Mine looks more like an eye chart or an eye test. But let me just do it, if you will, and think through it each line. He is able to do. He is able to do what we ask. He is able to do what we think. Take it in, beloved. He is able. Not only that, he is able to do all that we ask or think. But let's ramp it up a little bit more. And I see you're squinting already. Get the fine print. Because this is the promise we need when we go back to the work. He is able to do above all that we ask or think. He is able. I always like to look at different translations on this last line, Because they all flop around, It might be the new inverted version that you're looking at. And it changes the words all around. He is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. And to cap it all off, he is able, the New King James says, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And the reason I mention it is because the end of verse 20 reminds us that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Don't miss the last part. According to the power that works. And how would you finish that line? It's wonderful. That's the power that is working in us. Well, what do you say about such a blessing as this? Well, you say exactly what the Apostle Paul said. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, and you can finish it with me. Amen. Did I ask you to finish that with me? Well, you know, it is the last morning of the conference, and we're pushing this a little bit. But if you'd need to go back and read this and remind your heart that God is able to equip you completely for service, He's not lacking any power that's necessary, but our God is able to save and to keep and to make all grace abound toward us, to aid us, to keep us from stumbling, and able to do anything that's needed. Lastly, in the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, please look at this verse. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. The wonderful verse, he says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Do you know the very next event in God's great program? Our Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And when he comes again, what is he going to do? Well, one preacher said, when Jesus comes, he won't have to call me twice. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a day that will be. You don't look like you're convinced. It's really going to happen. Do you believe it? Well, you know, God is the one who is able, as he explains in verse 21, to transform these lowly bodies. I've been hearing a little bit of groaning this conference. Not just from you, from me too. We are in a lowly, frail body, and it's passing away. If you don't think it's passing away, just look in the mirror tomorrow morning when you wake up. It is passing away, but the inner man is being renewed day by day, and he's in the process of conforming us to the image of his Son, and one day he's going to finish the job. And these lowly, vain bodies are going to pass away, but they're going to be changed, transformed. Look at this in verse 21, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Our God is sovereign over all of his creation, over all of the universe, over all the principalities and powers, whether they are infernal or eternal, and he is sovereign over us as his people, and one day he's going to make a major change in us. C.S. Lewis said, "If you could see me 2 seconds after I die, you'd be tempted to fall down and worship me now." Do you know? The best is still ahead. It will be worth it all. And our sovereign God is going to truly make a major change that when he comes, you think he can get this thing off the ground? Every time I fly, I say, "Lord, pick us up in your great power and strength. And then before we land, set us down in your tender mercies." You think the Lord can get this thing off the ground? It's just going to take a word. And the one who has all power is going to call us out of this life, transform our bodies and make it heaven-bound, like unto his glorious body. I can hardly wait. But just in case he doesn't come before our brethren get up to speak, I'm going to close in prayer and ask that we'll just remember, as we call on God in prayer, remind your hearts that he is able. When the Lord asked these two blind men, "Do you believe I am able to do this?" They said, "Yes, Lord." You know what he said? "According to your faith, let it be unto you." Lord, increase our faith. It's not that the faith gets bigger, but our faith gets solid in a great God who can do anything. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for the greatness of your Son that overwhelms our hearts and our souls. And we say, unto him who has loved us and washed us from sin, unto him be the glory forever. Amen. In his precious name we pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.